talking about the unique relationship that Avraham Avinu had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was Megaleh himself. The Giloy, the Chiddush, that you're able to give something to Hashem, that Hashem wants us to have a relationship with Him. It's not just about doing what you're told. It's that as well. But there's more. That Avraham Avinu was called Mitnadev. He was Mitnadev. He was a Nadiv. He gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said that Klal Yisrael, I don't know if we got up to you exactly. Oh, then we said we gave that definition of Ava. Ava is the Ischaibus, the undertaking to give unconditionally, no matter what's going on. The person continues to give, he continues to focus on expanding himself, in expanding his circle bigger and bigger in order to be able to impact on more and more that we spoke about. Then we summarized really what we've been talking about all the time, the Ramchal, on why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, to bestow good, but it has to be good that you've earned. And therefore, only when we choose, when we use our Bechira correctly, and we choose to do what we're supposed to do, so that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu can fulfill the purpose of the prayer, to give us. We spoke about that a little bit. Fine, we said that this is an avodah nimuna. This is not something that you can intuit for yourself. This requires avodah nimuna. And that's what we get up to. I think we're on Kuf Yud Beis, the last paragraph, and then we're about to start probably the most important chapter in the entire Sefer. It's called Nisayon Emunah B'Dor HaAcharon. We'll see how this becomes everything we're getting up to now, how that sort of spreads its tentacles into the current situation we're involved in at the moment. Then he has an incredible piece on Betochen. We'll learn some Hilchos Betochen before we go into the next Chelek. Okay, so I'm down at the bottom of Kuf Yud Beis. It says in Pirkei Avos, in the first Perek, in the second Mishnah, Shlesh Dvarim Ha'ilu Ma'omed, well-known Mishnah, on three things the world stands, on Torah, Aveda, V'Gnuz Chasavim. On Torah, on Aveda, Aveda meaning the Kabbalist, Aveda Beis Hamikdash, today it means Tefillah, the Gemilas Chesavim, and Chesed. The Lama shall call you the Omer Adivinus Yesodis Eilu, Vayim Uchuvarim Kneged Avram Yitzhak and Yaakov. Each Jew's personal world is built on these three pillars, these three foundations, and they are Avram Yitzhak and Yaakov. And Uchuvan Kneged Avram Yitzhak and Yaakov. Avram Omega Chesed, as we know, Yitzhak is Omega Avoida, Yaakov Vinu Omega Torah. Titen Emes Yaakov, Ein Emes Ele Torah, that's Yaakov. Shlosh Yoseris Eilu, Magbilim Gamit Yisrael, Raisa Vekitcha Bruchu. Listen now, there's another tripod called Yisrael, Raisa Vekitcha Bruchu. Hashem, Klal Yisrael, and the Torah is also considered one entity made up of those three parts. Avram Avinu Kineged Yisrael. In this paradigm, Avraham Avinu is Keneged Yisrael, Yitzhak Keneged Kutcha Brichu, Yitzchak is Keneged Hashem, Kiu Bebechinas Avoide, and Yaakov Keneged HaTorah. Hamul, Yisrael, Hem Keneged Avraham Avinu, Ki Avraham Avinu Hu HaRishon, Shememenu Tchila Kedushis Yisrael. Where did Kedushis Yisrael start from? It was from Avraham Avinu. Achal Emenu Hafsakeinu Liyot Bnei Noach. That was when he cut us off, so to speak, from continuing to be Bnei Noach. We are Rishon Shigilu as Roman was Kedushis Yisrael. He was the first one that was Megala, this enormous elevation, this thing that we have, this transcendent dimension of Kedusha that we have. We are Rishon Shehavin Haiti, Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Chofetz Lehasig, Me'avriya Shabara. He was the first one that understood what a Kodesh Baruch Hu intended to achieve by creating the world. Hashem didn't create the world because he wanted to create the world. He had a tachlis, he had a purpose, and Avraham was the first one that grasped what that was. Mahi tachlisa shel abriya. What is the purpose of the briya? Ushayika amuchovan bohu Yisrael over Hashem. And the aspect of the briya was this dimension, this thing called Yisrael over Hashem. as we mentioned before, the Ramban, the fifth level of the Bria, is called Yisrael Ayyub Hashem, and that's the Tachlis of the Bria. Well, Rishon Shagila is Hanuri B'Kedushas Yisrael, and Mechenu Keneged Yisrael. He was the first one that revealed this Imuna in Kedushas Yisrael, and therefore he is Mechuvan Neged Yisrael. This unique relationship, this unique connection that exists between Avraham Avinu and Klal Yisrael will be discussed at length. You have to understand, we're about to step into a whole new, for a lot of people, not for everybody, but for a lot of people, this is a whole new way of thinking. You'll see that the way our Torah world is built up is very much built up around Yitzhak and Yaakov. Torah and Avodah. That seems to be what our meisters are. That seems to be what our focus is. There's very little emphasis anywhere in our chinuch, in our upbringing, on Avraham Avinu. So we're about to step into something here that might be for a lot of people new and might be quite a big chiddush. And in my experiences, it can be quite disturbing. We're about to start a chapter called Perek Tes. It says Nisayin Haimuna Bedora Acharon. It means, as we mentioned before, Chacham is Makiris Bekoima. Every generation has its unique, mission, unique tachlis, unique tools for that particular job. With the Dora Acharon, at the end of the Dora Acharon, means the end of the end. Mamash Rat Bar Rabbeinu Shmoshes and Erev Shabbos. And we see that the very unique nishaynus, anybody who's involved in any aspect of chinuch, you have children, grandchildren, you yourself are involved in chinuch, you know that things have changed and are continuing to change radically, and the tools that we used in the previous generations don't work today. The milchoma has changed, and the tools that we used even 3 years ago, 4 years ago, are not necessarily gonna talk to the person that you're talking to. It needs to be understood there's something new going on, and at the same time we're not throwing the Torah out the window. We have to find the new responses and new tools we have to find in the Torah. That's always the key. When we're having a struggle of what we used last generation isn't working in this generation, we don't start looking outside the Torah for solutions. The Torah is everything. The Torah foresaw this period and it gave us everything we need. We have to go look for it and work it. So we're going to be focusing out on a dimension of our Avodah and Torah that generally has been quite badly neglected. He has a whole sefer, by the way, just on this chapter. He has a whole sefer called, I think it's called Nisonis B'dor Acharon. Anyway, we might have even learned it at some stage, I don't remember. But so that's what we're starting now. So this requires a little bit of flexibility in the way you think, because you'll see there's It's a new perspective that you may not have been exposed to before. Okay. It may be Joshua Tzadik Ha'il HaMukubun, Ki B'Nisayin HaEmun HaBadarein Yitztalchu La'alos M'yadayim M'umotzos Al Kiros Yesharim. The Nisayin of the last generation, of our generation in Emunah, is described as having to climb walls, straight walls, in other words, flat surfaces, with your hands. In other words, it's going to be almost impossible. You're going to have to climb these sheer cliffs, sort of with your fingernails. Taking into account that this is going to be a difficult nisoyin, let us try and understand what is the unique nisoyin of our generation and what's expected of us, what is the avodah. So the Gemara Masechet Soter, at the end of Soter, there's a Braisa, Mishnah, well known, I'm sure everybody knows it. It lists the 15 simonim of the pre-Messianic generation. It says like this: Being fisted in Mashiach, Malchus Tafuch Laminus. In the Ikfisted in Mashiach, in the period that's called the heels of Mashiach, the Malchus, kingship, rulership, whatever you want to translate that as, will become luminous, will be lafuch luminous, will become heretical. A kira tispashet boilam b'koleis, kira, the denial of the boilam, will spread through the whole world with all its power. והקודש ברוך הוא יהיה נזע ונשכח מליבריס בני האדם רחמנא ליצלן. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu will be completely forgotten and left alone from the heart of Bnei Adam Rachmana Litzla. Vine, the door shelanu, Ador Acharon, anu aindim shuv b'nisyona sov shel Avram Avinu. This last generation will again facing the nisyon of Avram Avinu. V'kach mefarish bal sefer b'bel ha-mukos, v'derech remez, es divrei ha-gemor v'mesecht es psochim, v'gemayim psochim says lakbes, HaKodesh Baruch Hu omor l'Avram Avinu. Yechil yu chismin bekula, tamudleime v'hoya brocha. Boch chismin. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu that you're going to be the final signature. You're the brocha. You're the brocha, but you're going to be the signature that's going to sign off the generations. It means at the end of all the generations, at the end of history, you're going to be the paradigm. ומוזר לנו חכמים, כי חסימס וסימא גולס תהיה על ידי עמידה בניסיון של אברהם אבינו. חז"ל telling us here דרך רמז, that the ניסיון of the last generation is going to be the ניסיון of אברהם אבינו. ניסיון האמונה. The ניסיון in אמונה. Obviously we have to see what אמונה is. I'm not translating the word yet because we don't know what it means. But whatever that thing is called the אמונה, that's where the ניסיון is. And we know from the Gemara in Marcus, the end of the Gemara in Marcus, that's going to be the critical modality that a person is going to need. That we're going to see, and we discussed already, the unique imuna that Avram Avinu, because Megala wasn't imuna in the creation, in the creator of the universe, that there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Metzias of Hashem, that Avram Avinu had. That he had from Masorah, that he had from Shem Veva, from Noach, from Susimach, from Chanoich, from Tzedik Olam, from Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon met Noach and Noach met Avram. Unlikely that Noach forgot to mention to Avram Avinu, who was a creator. But Avram Avinu discovered it on his own, Ben Sholosh, Ben Arba'im V'chamesh, different dargos of recognition of the Borei Olam. But that wasn't his Iker contribution. His Iker contribution was Bishvili Livrei Olam. He discovered himself. And that's going to be the nisayin of the pre-messianic generation. Kasheni is born in the nisayin of Sasheni behem nisnasa amisa b'dekufa Sasheni. If you think a little bit deeply about the nisayin that Klal Yisrael is going through in all the different periods, v'achach ki b'chamishim ha-shanim achronim, we're going to call it the 70 years, because this was written about 20, just over 20 years ago the Sefer came out, so let's say 70 years back, we entered into a new period. And this new period, the Nisoinus in this new generation are just continuing and getting stronger and stronger. And the Kuna Mekazit shall appear little lahagdir is Matsavainu. He uvda asimcha, where a Yehudit vit vud, a chamimut hayudit hativit. This is what he's saying, that the central feature, the fulcrum, that all of the nisoinus, the problems that we have, revolve around, is the loss of just the simcha yehudit, ativis, the natural simcha that a person has for being a yid, and the loss of the warmth and very hard to put these things into words. I'm just going to translate what he says here, but it's very, very chosa. The warmth of the natural Jew, the natural Yiddish of Aramkeit, a warm Jewish heart. And if they shunning shlaim b'shleisha deiris kol yudi v'lo poshet b'yoyse kiris t'ma alose ki yudi v'yodeh shuhu b'nai shlapadik olchu ben am lanetzach. Until a few generations ago, I'm going to use the cutoff point here as the First World War. Until the First World War, a little bit before the First World War, we're talking about. From the First World War, that's when things started unraveling very quickly and very badly. But until the First World War, Yotel Pachot, the Jewish world was still fairly stable. The most simple Jew recognized his incredible value as a Jew. He knew that he was Bereshit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knew that he was part of Am HaNetzach. Ben La'amah Mo'odon B'midoisof, and he knew that, that in the different, we had a different different dimension, we came from a different place, we had a different tachlis, and we were not the goyim. Rodei Sho'anu Baishonim Rachmonim Gmoyle Chesodim. He knew about those midas that a Jew has, and he valued them. Baishonim Rachmonim Gmoyle Chesodim Simchat Tmidis Haisam Amolis is Libo Tomid Alkach. And he was always reveled in the simcha that, that he had those midas, and that's who he was part of. Lamarab Gaidel Tsarasov, Yusurov, Fahakashim Sha'iva Bimechaev, despite all the difficulties and suffering and Yusurim that people went through, Yoter, Pachot, everybody according to his own needs. Bohegish Tomek Ki'adi Fetoyv Lokach, Hain Biyadutoy, Hain Biyusurim, Asher Yais Magushan, Ubahemi Keshchena Goy. Azoil of the Soviet. No matter what was going on in his life, he always knew and understood that he knew that we were chosen, we were different, and that the existence of the goy, who was about eating and drinking and making merry, he knew that he had no shaykhs to that. That he knew instinctively, intuitively, he had other nisoynas. But this, the nisoyn of Shalos Ani Goy, he didn't have. He understood that. Anybody who knew Yidden from, let's say, my grandparents' generation, pre-war generation, knows exactly what I'm talking about. You don't have to even describe it. And I'm not talking about even that necessarily from that Kosher Material Mitzvahs, but they had a deep sense of Jewish pride. They knew what it was to be a Yid, and they knew that they had no shaykhs to the Olam HaGoy. There's many, many stories. I know one particular one in South Africa of a couple that were their kids. They were traditional Jews like most Western Jews out of America that still maintained some kind of tradition and still had the tradition of the Jews and whatever, but they were fairly liberal, and they were never cut themselves off from the non-Jewish world, and they had non-Jewish friends, and they had a social life and whatever, and the kids grew up or whatever, and their daughter came home one day with a non-Jewish boyfriend, and the father sat shiva, the father mamash talked to her and sat shiva. And no one knew what he was talking about. The daughter was like, what are you talking about? You always brought us up to be nice to everybody and everyone's equal. He said, yeah, but that's not Dabba Poshut to you. So to him, it was a Dabba Poshut. There was nothing to talk about. There's a Yidna Goy and a Vada, you know. You can live with them, you can be but a Goy marrying a Yid, there's nothing to talk about. Even somebody who wasn't from, he was nice, traditional, but nothing really burning in his Jewish heart in terms of his Yiddish card. Never was able to give it up to his kids. He has a daughter who doesn't understand what the problem is, because she doesn't have this. She never grew up with that. She didn't have it in her essence. For him, it wasn't even shaykh. There was nothing to talk about. And many stories like that. I know many stories in my own just environment, whatever. We knew the generation before the war, they understood. We'll speak a little bit about it now. I don't want to just get through here. The interesting reason why it is like that. That he doesn't bring, but it's, I'll give it to you now, just one second. So that was the most simple he'd understood, that he was a Yid, and he was proud of being a Yid, and he had a simcha of being a Yid. A simcha she'isa k'lelas b'bocha shalos ani goy ha'kif es kol yishusay, ves kol hazmanim v'amatzogim. The fact that he was a Yid, and that he could get up every morning and say shalos ani goy, simcha, were just like, no matter what was going on, that for him was what drove him. Angel simcha, angel outside. It didn't matter whether he was in a simcha mode, he was in a sad mode, he was always proud to be a Yid. Tomet Ruchai Belibo is from Musa, Yisudi Ben La'am HaNivcha. He always knew that he was Ben Am HaNivcha, and he knew that was what made him different. The mother said to Yisurim Shayim Manas Chelko, Shayim Beinai Slegayim, Kul Hayim Mole Simcha Yudit. No matter all the struggles the Yisurim had, even that terrible Yisurim from the Goy, nevertheless, he was always Male Simcha in his Yiddishkeit. Uchaim, Hashem Yisparach, Umaisav Shel HaGoy, Lo Anyan Otoy Klal. The Yisur world wasn't a Moshech, it wasn't a magnet for him. And he lived with Hashem, and that was it. Uchaim, Hashem Yisparach, B'si HaTmimis U'B'si HaPashtis. Look at the Hashem real. The simplest, yeah, simple doesn't mean silly. It means pashtus. It means real. The same way as you know the chair you're sitting on is there. That's how they knew that Hashem is real. Amnam, asapto shelo shelano lo yoyda al kim shel dvarim rabim shanu makirim kiyoyim. Our grandmothers didn't know a lot of the things we knew about today. Anybody who knew these people knows what I'm talking about. If you didn't, it's very hard for this generation. The kids in this generation don't understand what you're talking about yet. You never met people like this. It's almost impossible to hand this over, to try and describe this. They lived with their hearts beated with imunah. This feeling of being Jewish, this pride of being Jewish, escorted them wherever they went. It was never extinguished, no matter how much suffering and Yisurim they went through. These are things that didn't have to work on. These were things that they just picked up. You breathed it in the streets. The memory was something you just, that was there. There was the neighborhood atmosphere. They lived with a real deep apprehension of Hashem and of the unique nature. That was what they did. They lived with that. I'll tell you two quick ideas here before we go back to, he's going to build this, but I just want to tell you something, two things. I was walking once with Rav Kornfeld. He was in Tifrach once for Shabbos, and we were walking with Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Kornfeld was coming to give a talk to the group, and we were walking from the yeshiva to where they were. And Rav Kornfeld asked Rav Kornfeld, what's with this generation? What's the yisuf? What's going on? So Rav Kornfeld said, because the boundaries of a Chav HaChatan don't exist anymore. There's no more boundaries anymore. Everything's become equal. Everything's broken down. There's no more Jewish pride. What's it broken down? And sort of Kornfeld asked him, so what's the solution? He said, the solution is we have to build up a Tav HaChatanu. We have to give our children. We have to instill this and in calculate this into ourselves. We have to pass it on. And the question is, why is it like that? What changed? Why is it that not 70 years ago, and I'm telling you now, I knew lots of Yidden like this. I knew a lot of people, even their mamash, that weren't Shema Torah mitzvahs, that had crawled out of Europe before the war even, before the Second War. They come to South Africa and they had this. There was something warm and burning inside their hearts. It made them Jewish. And you could tell it. And they knew that they had no shaykhs to the Boisha world. They knew it instinctively. They did business with them, whatever, but they knew that it wasn't shaykh.
The Jew that you're describing and the Jew that he's describing sound pretty different. Are you talking about non-religious Jews? And he's talking about Jews that aren't even interested in being part of the Goyish world. The Jews you're talking about were very much part of the Goyish world. And
I'm just trying to explain. I'm just talking about what I saw. He's talking about the Yidden up to, let's say, the First World War. They had this, but I'm talking about Yidden who didn't even have this. I knew Yidden, I'm telling you, as a kid, I used to love being with them. I used to go hang out with my grandfather's friends. They were Yidden, they were Jewish. And I know what they thought about the Goyish world or whatever. Not that they looked out like it was whatever. No, they just knew that it wasn't shaykh to them. It was Lomim Bemila.
What part of it?
When their children married out, they said Shiva. And these ones...
What did they expect? They were living like Goyim. They were living like Goyim. What did they expect?
That's not my discussion here. That's not my discussion. Bichlal. That's another discussion. Happy to have it with you sometime. Not what they expected. I'm just talking about what they had in their hearts. Natural, deep pride in being Jewish and who they were. I'll explain to you what changed. That's all I'm explaining to you now, what they thought. They didn't understand that we didn't have that. We couldn't see the difference between a Jew and a Goy.
They were proud to be Jewish. They were proud to be Jewish, but they didn't want to do anything Jewish.
That's not true. Most of those Yidden kept certain things. Most of them did. I'll tell you now, my own grandmother salted her own meat. She didn't trust the butcher anymore with kashrus. Her father was a sheikhet in Riga. He was a sheikhet in Riga, in Yigdal Israel. And even though they weren't keeping Shabbos anymore, they used to go to work because that was the nisoyin in those days. Shabbos was a big nisoyin, going to work on Shabbos, whatever. Even though they kept Shabbos on Friday night, and you know that. those even lit candles and made Kiddush on Friday night, and most kids that I grew up with weren't allowed to go out on a Friday night. You had to be at home. And then we used to go to work Shabbos morning and come home after 1 o'clock or whatever, half past one on Saturday afternoon, and from then they would keep Shabbos more. You know what I'm saying? You know, but that's not my discussion. We should be chlal. You're off my point here completely. I'm not talking about what they kept, what they didn't keep. We're talking about in the area of Kabbalah Samoch Shemaim, where there's no mitzvahs. And I'll tell you another thing. In South Africa, those Yidden, that's why Reform never took off in South Africa. They knew what Yiddishkeit they weren't keeping. There was no discussion about what was authentic Judaism in South Africa. Anyway, but that's not my discussion. I just want to bring you a very interesting Gemara. It's a Gemara, I think it's in Shabbos. It says that every 70 years, there's a star. I think it says in the eastern sky, there's a star that's Mabaldel. It confuses the sailors. Every 70 years, there's a new star that comes up into the sky and confuses the sailors. It's whatever the Gemara is talking about, but the Chofetz Chaim said like this. He said, what it means is every 70 years, there's a new Nisot that Klal Yisrael has to go through. And that Nisoyon becomes the Ikki Nisoyon, and it's a real big Nisoyon, even though intellectually you won't be able to understand it, but people have that Nisoyon. So the Chofetz Chaim said that Nisoyon in his generation was communism. That Nisoyon was communism. Intelligent Jews, if you analyze communism, should have come to the conclusion, so this is not the solution, and yet intelligent Jews emptied up Bate Midrash in schools, ran off the communism in a way we can't even begin to understand. Not a clue. Anyway, that was it. And he even said when it would end. He said it started, yeah, and it'll finish round about, yeah, and I don't know the thing, but it was round about the time where the whole Russian thing fell apart. It was about 7 years after it started. So, Rabbi Tetz told me, when Rav Wasserman told this over in the name of the Chofetz Chaim, that he'd heard from the Chofetz Chaim, they asked Rav Wasserman, what's the Nisoyon today? What's the star that's mobilizing the sailors today? He said, it's the ability to see the difference between a Jew and a Goy. And he said something even more frightening. He said, and by the goyim, that this also applies, it's the inability to see the difference between a human and an animal, which is, anybody knows a little bit what's going on out there, even at the legal levels in certain countries about the animal rights laws and whatever, it's quite frightening that's what it is. That's why our grandparents, they didn't have this Nisoyon. They didn't have any Nisoyon. My grandparents had the Nisoyon of communism. That was their big struggle. A scholar, communism, opening up. That was their big Nisoyon. Some of them saw through it after the Russian Revolution, whatever, they saw what was going on. They saw there with the Sheker, and they fled from it. But a lot of them got caught up and to go have a look. Who were the early leaders of the whole Communist Party and behind it and pushed it or whatever, the Bundestag and everything. It was all the Yidden. All the Yidden. South Africa as well. Who was the Communist Party in South Africa? All Yidden. Every single one of the leaders of the Communist Party in South Africa were all Yidden. And that's who it was. That was their Nisoyon. But they knew the difference between a Jew and a boy, instinctively. The same as you know the difference between an elephant and an ant. You wouldn't mate an elephant with an ant because you know it's a long member of Minoy. We don't see that today. We don't see it. On the contrary, there are many, 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 many good goyim that we have good relationships with, that are very munusi, that are very nice. The goyish world even looks attractive. To my grandparents, what did the goyish world look attractive? You're going to go sit in a Polish pub and get drunk? What was there to attract you to the goyish world? Nothing. That's changed. Today we don't see, look at America, forget about South Africa where things are very different to America, but look at America, look at the assimilation, the breakdown of whatever it means to be Jewish in America. The Yidden today that know the difference between a Jew and a boy in America, almost impossible to find outside the religious world. So that's the Nisoyon we're facing today, and that's something we don't have, the Teva. We don't have this warm, pumping Jewish heart, whatever, and that's something we have to see why and how we get in touch with that and what we do with that. You know, that's just as a hakdama to what Metz Hashem, we're going to be starting the subject, you know, going into this more deeply tomorrow. The Seder, I think let's stop there. We're going to start that chapter tomorrow. Okay, the Seder Gamor. Yofi, questions, comments, reactions, otherwise, have a wonderful day, wonderful week. And we'll meet back tomorrow.
Thank you, Rav Shir. I wanted to say that growing up, my grandmother would also chew kashrut only. I remember seeing that in the house. In England, it's very similar to South Africa, where there was a pride of Judaism, where people, even if they didn't keep mitzvahs, they still associated very strongly with the authentic Judaism.
you know, England very much was in, I think we saw that as well, in Achinami. That was also very much there. I'm saying that the dynamic in America was very different. I'm trying to explain this to Americans when they grew up with a completely different world. I mean, all the different types of Judaism they had and whatever. In South Africa, there was almost no Reform Judaism. Everybody knew what was, you know, what was real. That was it. You ask anyone in South Africa, right now, you'll tell you he's an Orthodox Jew. He wasn't keeping any mitzvahs. He was driving on Shabbos, but he was an Orthodox Jew, which meant was his rabbi better be frum, because if not, they would fire him. That was, you know, they knew the real thing. They knew what they were rejecting, at least. There was no discussion about what Judaism was. But more than that, I'm talking about before the keeping of mitzvahs, it's just that natural teva of what a yid is, just what a Jew is. If you haven't seen it, you haven't seen it. It says nothing to do. You can't explain it to anybody. You either saw yid or you didn't. Shkach, Rabbi Yosef.
Although in Los Angeles in the 60s and 70s, most conservative Jews kept at least a kosher home.
I'm not wiping out all of America. Obviously, there were pockets and there were places and there were still people holding on to certain things in Achinami. I'm not saying not. I'm not knocking America, but I'm just saying the situation in South Africa was very different in the 40s and the 50s to what you had in America. But Avada, there were still pockets in America that still clung and held on, and Avada, I don't even question. They were given that had come pre-Holocaust, and of course they given after the Holocaust, of course. But the assimilation rate, the breakdown in America happened much quicker, and that's the nature of America. That it was the Nisoyin of America. It was a different Nisoyin to the Nisoyin of South Africa. South Africa was still built in a way that the walls, the ghetto, never really broke down. I mean, even when I was growing up as a kid, the ghetto still existed to a certain extent. There were very clear demarcations between us and the goyim. The lines were very clearly drawn. Even the goyim didn't even love us that much. It wasn't that easy, even if we wanted to get close to them. They didn't want you. It was a strong sort of German Nazi. My mother tells me she still remembers signs in the park saying no Jews and dogs allowed. Talking about in the 30s, the 20s, and the 30s in South Africa, the anti-Semitism was very much stark. And of course, the black world was completely cut off from you. It was cut off from everybody. That's what apartheid did. So that was no attraction. And the Goyish world, the white Goyish world, they weren't that interested in you. A lot of them were the worst anti-Semites. You didn't really want to have sheikhs to them. That changed. When I was growing up, that wasn't the case. On the contrary, we were very well treated and whatever. When I was in the army in South Africa, the kosher food in the South African army there was probably better than the level of kashrus in the Israeli army. We were more well treated there. But that's because we were white and they needed white votes. It wasn't because they loved the Yidden. They just they needed us, so they treated us nicely. You know, that was I'm saying that kept also was a very conservative Christian society. They were very Christian. So obviously a Yid, when he has Christian, he gets frightened and he runs away. You know, it wasn't like in America where the goyim weren't Christian. They were good, going in the last going, they were making money, they were having a good life, and they even sort of attracted to it. So yeah, things are very different. Anyway, that was the Nisan. But you're right. I'm saying there were a lot of places in America where the tradition and whatever, it, without the Kima mitzvahs, but certain things still stuck in Achinami. The places in South Africa where Taras HaMishpoch was like the only mitzvah people kept. Can you imagine? It was like crazy. People knew nothing from nothing, but you know, like amongst the Sfadim. You see it in Israel amongst the Sfadim. But we're not keeping anything, but Taras HaMishpoch doesn't, there's no compromises there. You know, you see these chilonim in their jeans and whatever arriving at the mikvah. And it's like, yeah, that's the Jewish art. That's in Achinami, we cling to that. Okay, the Seder. Take good care. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Shkayach, Rabbi.